Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor Gaius, and he's Germanicus, Michael Vlahos. And we are philosophizing, as we do, by the Thames before we go off to the theater later on a Saturday night. And just briefly, we've come to Putinism, and we've come to what Germanicus identifies as the Church of Woke. These are myths that America and Russia tell each other or are being presented. There's evidence now that the Russian media is preaching Putinism, that we're under attack, that NATO is closing in on us, that we're fighting for our survival. There certainly is no one version of Church of Woke that satisfies anybody. So I'll just say that it's challenging to our original myth from the 20th century of Redeemer Nation, which challenges our original myth from the 19th century and 18th century, a vineyard of liberty. It's challenged by the Church of Woke. So, Germanicus, your moment here, just a few minutes. Putinism is greater Russia, is Russia must survive, the motherland, Rodina. The Church of Woke also must survive. However, you make the point that both these expressions, Putinism and Church of Woke, are a way of talking about the culture in change or in disruption. How to describe the metaphor of what's happening to them?
The nation state, when it was really created as a kind of religious epiphany in the French Revolution, creates a civil religion that has to change as the world changes, as the nation changes. And so there is this pendulum swing between continuity and change or disruption. And so the nation state, it seems, and that's been true for both Russia and the United States, the civil religion has gone through minor transformations along the way, and the U.S. has had several, and Russia has also had several. For a fact, we can see the Russia of the later Romanovs then transforming into the Russia of the Red Russia under a different kind of czar, but still in much of the same framework as it had been in imperial times. And then when that collapsed, Russia had to reform itself, and the terrible disruptions for Russia of the 1990s gave rise to what is being awkwardly called by organs like The Economist as Putinism, is really less about Putinism than it is a reassembly and reintegration of continuity into a different package. And the American and British approaches to national narrative are much more resistant to acknowledging the need for change and how change gets processed and taken into society periodically. And so the U.S. has this sort of hazy theology of democracy, and everything has to be a democracy, which is always a democracy, without taking into account the fact that democracy is simply a sacred word, and beneath it, there is an entirely much more complex constitutional order that has to undergo periodic reconstruction or renewal. And so it is not so much Putinism vested wholly in the person of Mr. Putin. It is the reassemblage of what has been a centuries-long continuity within Russia itself. And therefore, if we were to bring Putin down, it doesn't mean that magically something called democracy could be injected into Russia and it would become a happy, you know, member of the the Congress of democratic nations. It what it means is that there would be another kind of recrafting of the Russian cultural continuity and possibly in a much more aggressive form. And what we see in the Church of Woke in the U.S. is that it has, for all of the fact that it appears to be a break between the kind of America we had in the period after World War II up to close to today, it appears to be quite a break from that in many ways, but it is very much a standard bearer of American exceptionalism. And so the idea that the world must be transformed to fit the American vision, and that we must convert the world to our vision, our way of life, our concept of good and evil, is very much as much of an animating feature of the behavior of the U.S. government in this crisis as it was in the period of World War II and after, in the sense that it is universalistic and it is uncompromising, and it seeks the absolute submission and then redemption. I'm not sure if redemption is the right word, but certainly the conversion of enemies into clones of ourselves. And as a result, you have two different visions that have no feeling or empathy for the other, at loggerheads, at basically ready to go at it hammer and tongs, as it were. And that is a concern, or should be a concern. In other words, when the U.S. engineered a coup in Kiev in 2014, it did so with the express objective, as in the tenets of American exceptionalism, to overthrow the tyrant in Moscow eventually and to bring democracy to the former Soviet Union. But in effect, that's not the cultural path that Russia and, for that matter, Ukraine are on. That there's a different mix at play, a different dynamic, and for us to ignore that is to lead us into potentially, you know, fatal confrontations. It's not as though we could pull off a World War II without actually fighting, but just bringing Russia to its knees, and then somehow they will overthrow the tyrant and embrace our values, our beliefs, our way of life, and that will be the happy end. In fact, very much the opposite is where I think we're going to be heading.
Michael Vlahos is Germanicus. I am Gaius, John Batchelor. We are on our way to the theater, reflecting upon the events of our time here in the first century AD. Domitian, we know, is not going to fare well at the hands of the Senate, but that's not immediately at hand. We're far enough away from Rome that we'll be buffered in some fashion. And we know that there's an emperor ahead of us, Trajan, who is a redeemer. And we'll have a good second century AD. There's some bumps. And always, always, the barbarians at the Danube, just as the barbarians are now at the Dnieper River Valley, throwing arrows into a nuclear power plant. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.